Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. The number of today's show is 1073, and we'd like to talk a bit about our life here in Israel. We can see in recent years a kind of conflict between our desire for a national identity and our inclination toward humanism. We'd like to understand, what does it all mean? Where is it headed? Be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah, the Israeli nation is a very complicated, various nation with many, many different kinds of denominations, and it's a very colorful nation. And we see that alongside with all the different conflicts and rifts, we see that there is one conflict that's really standing out, which is the conflict between our national feeling and our desire to be cosmopolitan, open, humane, and so on. Also, we see that even in our public diplomacy, when we want to show how good we are and so on, how much good we're doing to the world, we especially emphasize how humane we are, that if there is some kind of an avalanche or some kind of a disaster, immediately we send rescue teams wherever it is around the world, and that we're really humane in this respect. So let's try and understand, within the Israeli society, what's so special about our national feeling, and later we'll try and understand our aspiration for humanism. We are a nation that suffered greatly, and a nation that everyone hates. A nation that feels that it's entirely under everyone's magnifying glass, that everyone's pushing them into the corner, that if someone wants to be a bit greater than someone else, they kick us. And by that, they as if ascend. If someone in some place in the world wants to show how unique they are, they can get down on us, and everyone will see that they're special. Meaning we're like a kind of punching bag. Yeah, the world's punching bag, right. And therefore, after 2,000 years in exile, and the exile is not coming to an end, not even in our times, even though that we've been living in the so-called State of Israel for the past 80 years, it actually makes us feel even more how much we're not like everyone else. We thought that we can be a nation like any other nation, have a country like any other country, but no, this never was, never is, and never will be. And we have zero hope of being like everyone else, so that they won't point their finger at us and say about us, let's forget about that. This will not happen. And therefore, it's a society that's really all the time under pressure. It always has to masquerade itself and twist and turn itself in different directions to look pretty and nice in the eyes of others as much as they can. Whereas other nations, they don't even look at that. There's such a thing. They don't even pay attention to it. They don't have this from within. I always have to think, how will I appear in the eyes of others? What will they say about me? It's true, it's an interesting inclination that we have. I'd say that it's a kind of feeling of inferiority. And other nations don't feel it that way, no matter what nation you take. A nation that's really, they don't feel the need to justify themselves, and we do. Yeah. And therefore, behind all of these feelings of deprivation and so on, when we're talking about our day-to-day behavior, both regarding the world, then there we're willing to agree to anything. We have no choice. We grew accustomed to it over the past 2,000 years that, how to put it, We're even afraid to start a war, only on condition that we're already attacked, and then just a bit here and there we can respond. What will others say? So as a result of this external pressure, and as a result of us being an uncorrected nation, too developed compared with its inner spiritual, completely unrealized potential, then in the nation, there is a very strong inner resistance between the spiritual potential and the corporeal realization. That on part of the spiritual potential, we have to be a chosen people. We have to be a people that shows, that sets an example for the entire world. A people that teaches the entire world how to build society, how to build a family, a country, and how to arrange in general all of mankind and the entire world. And on the other hand, we're not realizing this at all, but to the contrary. If we'll look at ourselves from the side, we'll see how we're the very complete opposite of it, both in terms of our families, our policy, our culture, education, everything. We're the complete opposite. We're simply failing. And all of this because we don't want to acknowledge our destiny. At our foundation, we're broken. We have self-hate. We really, on the inside, we don't like ourselves. Why? Because we're opposite to our spiritual mission, destiny. I can't go out and say, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud of it, because I have a method for the correction of the world. I can show everyone that I'm more exalted than everyone, and I want to actually share it. It's not that by it I want to show how much better than others I am, but I'm willing to share it with everyone. We don't have this foundation. We don't know what we have. And so what follows is that instead of going out and showing to the world everything that we have to give, and this is what really the world subconsciously is expecting of us, what happens is the very opposite. We're saying to the world, we have nothing, and the world looks at us suspiciously, and suspiciously, subconsciously says they have something, but they don't want to share it with us. And therefore, no matter what we do, they deserve it. Meaning that there is a kind of implication here that what we feel and experience from the world's attitude toward us causes us to introspect and, first and foremost, not to take pride in our Judaism because there's nothing to really be proud about my nationality. And we also talked about there being some kind of self-hate because we're opposite or opposed to our spiritual mission. That when we don't realize ourselves as a result of this lack of realization and this gap comes in the self-hate. Yeah. And this is why we hate ourselves. Meaning self-hate comes when there is a certain gap between what I could be and what I am in practice. Yeah. And if I don't realize my mission, then in this gap comes in self-hate. Yeah. Even if I don't know what is it about, it's not clear. Yeah, I don't know. What am I to blame for? How can I realize myself? What can I share with the entire world? But still, all of this leaves a feeling of lack of realization in me, a feeling of deprivation. So what kind of hate is there in us? We hate ourselves. Why? Because subconsciously, deep inside myself, I don't even feel it, but because I'm not correctly realized, I have a tremendous role, mission, destiny that I have to show the entire world how to live correctly, how to advance correctly, how to raise children correctly, build a family, everything that has to do with a person's life. I have a method of how to bring the entire world to wholeness, completeness, perfection. And I'm not doing it. I'm not realizing it. I barely know about it. But the fact that I don't know about it, it doesn't rid me of the problem. Inside, I feel that I'm not being used correctly. So who do I hate? Myself. I want to run away from Judaism. I want to run away from being a Jew. I'm willing to be, I don't know, an African. South American, whoever, whatever, just not to be a Jew. I feel, as a Jew, that I'm all the time in a vice grip, under a magnifying glass that the entire world's looking at me, at the small, despicable, and guilty me, like some kind of germ. So, okay, now you describe self-hate. What's the connection between the self-hate that a person feels toward his nationality and a hate that starts developing within the nation, among its members, toward each other? This is a combination of many factors. Not many, but quite some. First of all, it's a big ego. Secondly is that everyone wants to cheat everyone else and to succeed at their expense, because by that a person at least feels that he's using himself in some way. The third thing is that a person has this inner spiritual urge to hate his nation, dating back to the times of the temple. It's something that's imprinted in us. Yeah, that a person can't stand it. Why? Because we fell from brotherly love to unfounded hatred. We fell to a place where we naturally are, and naturally, none of us is close to anyone else. Why? Because we're a collection of the 70 nations of the world, the people of Israel, who have connected according to Abraham's invitation into one group. And Abraham connected them above themselves according to love covers for all crimes, that everyone succeeded in reaching mutual love between them. But this mutual love, it connects people that are complete strangers, if it exists. Yeah. Once this love disappeared, this is what you mean by the destruction of the temple? Yeah, the destruction of the second temple when the love disappeared. Yeah, this is what Rabbi Akiva cried about, love another as thyself, and it disappeared, and so we no longer belong to one nation. And what does it have to do with the hate we feel today? Because we're representatives of the 70 nations of the world. Within the people of Israel, you have all the nations. And how is it related to the hate that we feel today? Because there's no connection between us. If there's no connection between the 70 nations of the world, then no problem. For them, it's a corporeal connection. For us, it's a spiritual connection, because we were connected by a spiritual force. And it disappeared, and so what connects us is an anti-spiritual force, the force of hate. And therefore, we want to run from each other. We simply can't stand being together, only because we have no choice, because our enemies are putting pressure on us, so we're coming together to have more strength, hoping to win, to be saved. So let's see if I understand. You're saying that the interaction between two Israelis is not like the interaction between two French people. Not at all. Even the connection between a Frenchman and a German. So much so. Yeah? Because between a Frenchman and a German, there's hate, there's rejection, but it's corporeal because they're from different nations. Yeah. And the hate that we feel is compared with that love that used to connect us. Now we feel the very opposite. What is this negative feeling? Between us, there is a kind of negative feeling that doesn't exist between any two other people in the world. I want to con you. I want to use and exploit you. But this is already the expression of this negative feeling, as if there is a kind of potential force in this negative feeling. Until we acquire national love, which is something that you can do only by the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is what it's intended for, we won't be able to stand each other. So much so that, look how many parties we have and the hate between the parties. People are willing to get along better with our neighbors, with everyone. Yeah, with everyone, just not with another Jew. The hardest thing is for two Jews to get along, and once they do, immediately they start thinking, how can we use each other? Previously you said that our inclination to take advantage of each other, to benefit at the expense of others, we amongst ourselves, the Israelis, it causes a person to feel that at least he is realizing himself to a certain extent. And before that you said that the reason for which we hate ourselves is it's because a person feels that there's this unrealized potential in him, and this is why he hates himself, his nationality, that he's a Jew, and so on. Because this is something that he has by nature. Right, and this gap. Now, why when I cheat another Israeli, it calms this feeling down? Why does it give me a kind of feeling that I am realizing this potential somewhat? It's the realization of hate. So why does it calm me down? Because you have the desire for it, the urge for it. An urge for what? To hate the other. You're in a klipa, literally meaning shell in Hebrew. When does it calm down? When you realize your hate. Can you explain this? I can't explain beyond these words. I really can't. Why? If one Israeli takes advantage of another, then it kind of calms his self-hate down more than if I take advantage of someone else from the nations of the world. Right. Why? Because toward that other person from the nations of the world, I have no spiritual hate. And toward another Jew, I have spiritual hate. What is that? That in the past, we used to feel love toward each other, and now it's hate. What do you care if you have a neighbor and you're not in any kind of special relationship with her? But if you were married and then you had a fight and you got divorced, then what? Then for sure, there's a demand here and a negative kind of connection. Okay, looking forward now at the Israeli society, is national love important for the Israeli society in our times? No. What is? National love is not important to Israelis at all. They don't look at it, don't talk about it, don't develop it. We don't see anyone learning about it in school or any movies about it, theater. No one cares for it. We care for the opposite, for how much everyone disregards and disrespects everyone else. This I see everywhere. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? Is national love important? The wisdom of Kabbalah says that it's something that must open up in our times and develop, but out of our need to deliver this, give this to the world. Our what, national love? No, love for the world. And therefore, we'll have to develop our national love. So it's like two stages. Yes, because I owe this to the world. Oh, what? To teach the world how to love. So first of all, I have to achieve love among us. This is what forces me to reach, achieve love of Israel, and from the love of Israel to the love of the world. Is it possible to say that in order to reach true humanism, all-embracing love for the world, then the first stage is love within Israel? Yes, this is the first step toward humanism. Yes. Why? And let's discern. Because it's not ordinary humanism, and it's not an ordinary kind of love for your nation, but it's only for the sake of embracing the world. Meaning that we're not connecting in order to love each other and separate ourselves from everyone. Right, but we do it to begin with in order to bring love to the world. And this is actually the uniqueness of our national love. Yes. Therefore, even our national love, the love of Israel, is completely humane. This process, like the one you've just described, how will it influence this negative feeling that we feel toward each other, this anti-spiritual force that exists between Israelis? To the extent to which they'll be able to connect with one another, then from that they'll have the strength to connect and to connect the whole of reality, the entire world, all of mankind. If the people of Israel are capable of connecting to some extent amongst them, they'll have the force, the ability, the understanding, and the approach of how to connect and embrace all of mankind. What's the relation? The relation is that the hate that the people of Israel feel toward each other as a result of the spiritual shattering that they went through 2,000 years ago, in the correction, it'll give them the strength, the ability to embrace the entire world. Everything you talked about sounded very rational and even painful to hear how true it really is, besides one thing that I want to ask about. Why are you all the time going back to events that happened 2,000 years ago? How is it related to what's going on now? Because the people of Israel, in the past, united into one group under Abraham in ancient Babylon 3,500 years ago. So you're going even further back. Yes? Why? Because it's the foundation of the nation, the foundation of a group of strangers that came together into one group, happened in ancient Babylon when Abraham, our patriarch, he took all the Babylonians and he told them, whoever wants to reach the Creator, come to me. Whoever wants to get out of this entire war that we're going through here in Babylon, please. And people listened because he was a priest. He was a well-known spiritual figure in Babylon. And he taught them how to connect and love another as thyself. Back then, the ego was still small in mankind. And they succeeded in connecting, and therefore he called this group Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, meaning being aimed straight at the Creator, at the upper force, which is actually a collection of all those 70 nations that lived back then in Babylon. And he took them here to the land of Canaan, to the land of Israel. And this is how they lived and strengthened their connection upon all the different kinds of disturbances and interferences that have awoken in them on purpose in order to strengthen their connection. And only when 2,000 years ago, they plunged into a very big ego, an eruption of a very big ego, only then they could no longer hold on. It was in the times of Rabbi Akiva. And he cried, love another as thyself. This is something that we have to keep. And the nation simply couldn't. And then they broke. Meaning they fell from the spiritual degree in which they were in brotherly love to the corporeal degree where they started hating each other because they separated like the 70 nations. And they're all in collision with each other because in each of them there's the root of 70 nations. And how does this influence us today, or it doesn't? It does, because we can't connect. In you, there's the root of the 70 nations, and in me and in everyone else, because in the meantime, our parents and the parents of our parents and so on, throughout the generations, they got married. So in each of us, there are 70 roots in each and every one of us. Do you understand? Not one root, 70 roots. And when we want to connect, then these 70 roots, they begin to supplement each other. And when we can't draw the reforming light to connect them, then each and every one of us is overflown from within, about to explode, is in this inner madness of how much he's in conflict with himself. What can calm this inner madness down? Only the light, which is what? The upper light that brings connection between all of these parts, these 70 roots that exist in each and every one of us. You just told me that a person feels that he is about to explode on the inside. What does it have to do with the relations between people? Is it related, or just everyone feels that they're about to explode? You can't connect to another person. It's a problem. You yourself are in this inner conflict, and also is he, and also you're in a conflict between yourselves. So what can you do? This is what I'm asking. This is how it is. Is it possible to calm this down? No. Then what? It's possible to do this by the upper light, by the wisdom of Kabbalah, by drawing the upper energy that exists in the world, that encompasses the entire world, the still vegetative, animate, and human beings. If we, human beings, want to be connected like all the rest of the parts of nature together. But if we don't, and then if we learn how to draw this energy that connects all the parts of creation, then what will it do to our relationships? It'll give us the ability to love each other. Otherwise, we can't. So we can be either connected by external hate or by inner love. And how will this spiritual love among the people of Israel influence humanism around the world? Because we're connected with them by 70 roots. And the moment we start connecting, they start feeling that they want to connect too. And they start feeling that this force of good is coming from us. Could the world be more humane? Entirely. Let's hope that we'll come to that. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.